Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Mr. Unlimited starting against our Falcons in week one. It's Dukes and Bell.
He's rather limited at this point.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Unlimited.
You heard him. Right there, Zeno.
You ever done anything dangerous?
I hear a lot of things on the radio I don't believe, particularly that come out of my own mouth.
Well, you're not the only one.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a lonely island where I live.
Big O is here.
Like he's, Castaway, but
he's
different.
Doing all the things. Zeno's here spewing whatever he does on a daily basis.
Spew.
By the way, one of our listeners, thank you. He says, I miss Mike, but I got to tell you, you and Zeno and this is a friendly debate and banter. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you. He's wrong about a lot of things, but thank you.
No. Just because you disagree doesn't mean it's wrong.
What are you talking about?
Exactly what I just said.
You're talking about the Super Bowl play? You were wrong about earlier?
Do you want me to break this down? Because I had to do it on 26 seconds left.
I know you broke it down on Twitter. And it doesn't matter. Southside Tito says, well, it wasn't Southside Tito.
He said, I'd rather run the ball and lose anyway.
That's what he said.
Hey, fair point. Fair. I don't argue with that logic if that's the logic. I'm only defending the logic to pass in that situation. Anyway, but just because you may not agree with some of these very lucid, well thought out, deep.
Lucid?
You know, yes. Well thought out, lucid, you know, deep penetrating takes that the average man may not, you know, actually, you know.
All right. Deep penetrating might be the word I'd use, but I hear you. A lot of people fired up because I said, let's get after their blank. Falcons talking about Russell Wilson. We should have three or more sacks in this game. You heard me. This offensive line is a joke. Right now, this is not even the best line we're going to see. And so coming into this game, more so than the quarterback, my concern is how do we attack these guys and get after Russ? All right. As we get into the blitz, I'm going to let you hear from Justin Fields, and I'm also going to let you hear from Mike Tomlin. By the way, you said this. A lot of guys are hitting us up, and then Rich Eisen said this today. Falcons better be ready for Justin Fields' package. One, two, what are we talking about, Zeno? How is Arthur Smith going to navigate this? And by the way, when you do those things, doesn't that take away from what you should be focused on, which is getting Russ the best opportunities against us when you're trying to give Justin Fields a package? But Rich Eisen said that today. A guy sent that to me. He said, Dukes, what do you think? I think you're probably right. I think you're right.
To a certain extent, I don't know that Arthur Smith has to create that much more for Justin Fields than that it's already there. I think, you know, given the style of offense that he runs and what we've seen from him, play action is a big part of it. Rollouts matter. Both of these guys can roll out. Russ is probably better throwing on the run than Justin is.
Agreed.
The difference is I think that he throws in a couple extra plays where the rollout is actually a design run for Justin, which is what we saw from Desmond Ridder at certain points last year, right? Like, they were actually designed runs for him when he got outside the pocket, you know, for that give him the opportunity to quick RPO it and say, I'm going to go or I'm not going to go kind of deal. So I don't know that there's that much tweaking, but I know the Falcons are different, very different defensively. I mean, in reality, when you add Justin Simmons and you add Matthew Judon and, yeah. You know, but to say that he doesn't know the weak spots of certain players, well, that's unfair. He does. He knows what you know, Onyemata can do, and he knows what Ebikadi can do and some of the other linebackers and where they might have some holes that he could try to exploit. I don't know if it gives him any big advantage or not because of the personnel that they have, but, you know, I mean, losing this game to Arthur Smith would be bad. Losing this game to Arthur Smith with Russell Wilson at quarterback
is worse.
It's an extra little twist
is.
To the...
No. It is. Yeah. We're not losing, Zeno.
23. It's the only number that matters. Score 23 points to win the game.
We're not losing. We're not losing this game.
Yeah. Take care of the football. Do all the simple things. It's redundant and it's elementary and academic to say. Take care of the football. Maximize your scoring opportunities. Don't beat yourself. And they should win the game easily. Right? Like, it's not a rocket. They don't have to be special against this team.
And you know what? You know what else I feel? Yeah, you don't. You do not
have to. Like, you may need to be special against Philadelphia and Kansas City.
You do not.
You don't have to be special in this game. You could just be very average and just be better than what they are, and that's enough to win. And in week one, given the expectations and everything else, I kind of don't care how they get out of here with a win.
We're not losing this game.
Because if you lose this one,
0-3 feels really
bad. Let's not forecast things like
that. Don't ever make that face again, Mark Zinna.
Okay? No.
Like my two-year-old after a bad lunch.
All right. I just, you know.
Here's the thing. By the way, I feel like, before we get to the blitz real quick, when Justin comes in the game, it's going to be like Taysom Hill. They're running it! Everybody.
I mean,
they're running the ball. Taysom Hill is in the game. They're running. That's how I feel. This is not going to be like, oh, they're going to do something completely different and dynamic when he comes into the game. And I love the kid, by the way. I wish him nothing but the best. He's got a great family. Everybody knows in Kennesaw and Harrison High School, we love the kid. But the fact of the matter is, when he's in the game, I got to root against him, okay? And that's where we are in this. And so I think they will have a package for him, but I also think if Art starts the season like that, you're just creating something you don't need. That's the other thing. You go to Justin later in the year when Russell has completely failed you.
Can I tell you something? Like, you don't – the NFL doesn't work with gimmicks all that well.
It doesn't.
Like, save the Wildcat that nobody was ready for when it first started, right? It took a year or two to adjust, but then everybody figured out how to stop the Wildcat.
And nobody does it anymore.
And everybody stopped doing it. Why? Right. Because – yeah,
that's right.
Ronnie Brown and who's the other guy?
Oh, my goodness.
Brown was the other. Who's the other running back in Miami with Chad Pennington? Come on. Help me out. It's going to bother me.
Yeah, you're looking at Orne. I know. Anyway, I can see his face.
I just can't remember. Anyway, so the point is that the gimmick stuff doesn't really work, right? So you don't try it. Like, there's a difference between a trick play and a gimmick. Bringing Justin Fields in for a set of plays or whatever is gimmicky. Running a flea flicker is a trick play. Running a double reverse is a trick play. Running a halfback pass is a trick play. Those things are okay. Gimmicks are not. Gimmicks, more often than not, don't work in the NFL. You're trying to catch somebody sleeping, and the difference is that works in college a lot because the difference between the athletes on one side of the ball is so great to the other. It's not the case in the NFL. Everybody is the same for the most part.
It is. I agree. All right,
so,
guys.
Don't do it.
We'll see how they play things.
Not that Arthur needs my advice.
Well, he might. Let's hear from Justin Fields and Mike Tomlin. Before. Also, Steve Young. Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Hey, hey. Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Let's hear from Justin Fields first. What did he have to say about this decision?
He mad.
I'm just to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, to be here. To be here around Coach Tomlin, to be able to be motivated every day by his approach and how he uplifts us as players.
That, by the way, left out? That's Russ.
To be not starting, it sucks.
No, Russ. That's Russ. That's not Justin.
Sorry.
Yes, that's Russ being Mr. Positivity, Mr. Unlimited.
Dear Lord.
Oh, what do you mean? I'm happy to be a Steeler.
Okay.
Well, I'm happy to be here with Mike Tomlin.
I mean, I expected to be a starter all along when I came here. I didn't come here to be the backup. I expected to be the starter. I'm ready to go. Mm. I have the locker room behind me. I have the offense. I'm in lockstep with the offense coordinator. Let's go. We're going to go out and win week one.
Yeah.
That would have been a quarterback with confidence. He sounded very flaccid.
You're using big words today.
Sounded lucid, like you need one of them Viagras.
Flaccid. That was the quarterback, Russell Wilson. Can I hear Mike Tomlin? Let's hear Mike Tomlin.
Good afternoon. As I said this past weekend after the game, we had a decision coming at the end of our work week this week regarding the quarterback position. As I also said after the game, I just thought it was appropriate to do it at this time. I think that doing it earlier than this time would have put a de-emphasis on the work that we were able to get done out here from a developmental standpoint. But I also think it's the appropriate time because as we move into next week, we need to be singularly focused as a collective on the challenges of the week, which is obviously our opener in Atlanta and the division of labor and roles within it. I met with both quarterbacks here just a few minutes ago after practice, and I informed them that Russ is QB1 going into week one. It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they've conducted themselves as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct.
That is Mike Tomlin, and that is so on brand for Mike Tomlin, talking about singularly focused for the task at hand. You know, We'll see how it shakes out. Hey, NFL Blitz is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let me hear from Steve Young before we talk about who the Cowboys have signed, because they signed another running back. Steve Young says that, and I wanted to know if you agree with this, that Brandon Ayuk needs to see the value of where he's at other than dollars. Steve Young?
That's where the agent's got to be able to figure out a way to bring that player to see the values other than the dollars, to see the things that you be, keep in context, bro, that there's a lot of great players out there that are playing with brutal teams that have no chance to see the full measure of who they could be as a player, and that's not you.
Steve Young, that's easy for you to say because you already got your bag. I love it when guys who are already rich tell me, Zeno, that you know what? You need to see the value of where you're at and don't worry about getting your money because, you know, you'll have this talent forever. No, you won't. Brandon Ayuk will be out of the league by like 35, if not sooner. Get your money when you can get your money.
Hey, you know what I tell people? Like the difference between $15 million and $10 million to an athlete
is
$5 million. Say it out loud with me. $5 million.
It's a lot.
It matters.
It's a lot.
Anybody else walk away for $5
mil? No. Cowboys sign running back Dalvin Cook. What do you think?
I expect him probably to take a week or two to get ramped up. He'll probably be in your... Look, you can't go with Rico Dowdle and...
Who?
Rico Dowdle and Zeke. Although Rico, I'm very nervous.
Dowdle. It sounds like a rapper.
If you follow me on the Instagrams and the Twitters, I gave out yesterday Zeke Elliott over 550 total rushing yards for the season.
Yeah.
He needs to average 35 rushing yards a game. For a guy who's averaged 15 games pretty much his entire career, now I'm kind of getting nervous that Dalvin Cook might have some more tread, less tread on the tires and some more pop.
By the way, I didn't like the Zeke signing for them. I just didn't.
I mean, they have to run the ball at some point. Like, they have to hand the ball to Zeke. You can't just pass every down.
No, but you can't go back to 2019 Zeke either.
You're not trying to. You're just trying to get somebody who's consistent and healthy.
Well, good luck
and
with Zeke the 2 yards of pop.
He had
2 yards a pop.
He had 3.5 last year, okay?
He's washed.
And he had over 600 yards last
year. He's washed.
His number is too low. Zeke Elliott over 550 rushing yards for the season. I'll make you a lunch bet on it.
All right, that's a bet. Seth Emerson's going to join us. How about them dogs?
This is Jim Rome with a Sports Minute, sponsored by...
Let's talk some dogs with our man Seth Emerson from The Athletic. He does a terrific job of covering the dogs and has for a very long time. Seth, it's game week. We are finally here after a long summer, as always, of talking about the possibilities of what may take place. Tell me what you're thinking as we head into this game on Saturday with Clemson in regards to the dogs' defense. I mean, we've talked a lot this offseason about the D-line. Do you feel like this is where you're concerned if you're a dog fan? What are your concerns heading into this game against Clemson?
I think it's mostly on the defensive side. I have questions about whether the run defense will be improved. Now, it wasn't bad last year. It was just not as great as it was for Georgia from 2019 to 2022. That was the backbone of winning those championships, was the fact that other teams couldn't run on Georgia, and so they had to pass, and Georgia was able to get in a lot of third downs. And when you know that you're forcing teams into a lot of third downs, you can pin your ears back and do a lot of different stuff in pass coverage. But then they're also wondering about the secondary. Malachi Starks, who I wrote about today, is he might be one of the best players in the country, but he's just one guy. They're working in some younger, inexperienced guys. The top cornerback is a guy who started half of last year and kind of had a rough year, but a lot of that was because people were throwing to his side a lot because Kamari Lassiter was on the other side. But there's just a lot of questions on the defense. I think overall it'll still be fine, but you're starting without really much margin for error because you're starting against Clemson, not against Tennessee Tech or Kent State or anybody like that. So, now Clemson, has questions of its own, obviously, on offense. Quarterback, they've got some good young talent at receiver, but it's young. It probably in that way makes for a good matchup for Georgia. But, of course, you don't know for sure because there's no preseason games. It's college football. You're just kind of – I always say, like, the opener is always, like, a little bit like Christmas morning for fans because you're finding out about your team, like, right away. You haven't seen them, and then here they are.
to that end, not seeing the offense yet in its current form compared to what it was last year. I mean, look, Brock Bowers was a mismatch that no team in the country could contend with. He's obviously gone. Ladd McConkey gone. Is it fair to have questions at this point, or we just assume that Georgia locks and reloads as they've done for years, and they're just going to be flat out better than everybody on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, running back is a question this year. You know, they're not going to have, I don't think, Trevor Etienne for the opener, but they are going to have Branson Robinson, who started or looked like he was about to have a big role last year before he got the injury, but he's, you know, is barely a year removed from that injury. So he hasn't played a real football game in a year and a half. And then it's young guys and the walk-on Cash Jones. But, yeah, they can overcome it with what they have at quarterback and receiver and even tight end without Brock Bowers. They've got they don't have Brock Bowers, but in Oscar Delp, Lawson Lucky, and Ben Juracek, they have three tight ends I really like. And they don't have Ladd McConkey at receiver or Marcus Roseme Jackson or Ra-Ra Thomas, but they do have Dominic Lovett and Dylan Bell and Arian Smith and some guys they like, the new guys, London Humphreys and Colby Young. So there's a lot of what's going to be interesting about Georgia's passing game this year is you don't have that number one threat right off the bat, but you've got a lot of guys. So they're not worried about depth. They're not worried about having starter level SEC receivers and tight ends. The question is, would they miss having that guy that they had the last few years?
Seth, I know you wrote about this, and I'm curious because a lot of people may or may not be aware of this, but the SEC is going to implement an injury report or an availability report by next week with teams facing fines if they're fined or they are found to have violated. So what you're telling me, and I just need you to help me with this, we're going to see an injury report from Kirby Smart and the Dogs every week?
I don't know whether it's going to be just Saturday's game of or day of game, the way it has been for the last year in the Big Ten and will be in the MAC is the only other conference that we know that's doing it. I don't know if they'll do some during the week, but the indications I got talking to people last couple of days is it's going to be more than that. But I don't know if it's going to be more than that in the sense of on game day, they're not going to say out or in, or whether they're going to say doubtful, out, probable, whatever. And I don't know if there's going to be anything during the week. But, you know, as secretive as Kirby Smart and most coaches are about injuries, you know, what Kirby said last night is what I've heard for years from coaches at the college level, especially ones who have been at the NFL and didn't hate the injury report process. They all said just, like, if we're all playing under the same rules, we're fine with it. But in college football, there hasn't been that rule. And it's still going to be up to each conference. So the reason you haven't heard about the SEC officially announcing an injury or availability report is because there's no SEC games this weekend. They're all playing other teams. So Clemson and Georgia, you know, you're going to find out at game time whether – you know, there's a surprise injury or something. And you still don't know. We've got to find out whether anything is going to happen during the week. The great thing with the NFL report is there's no, like, shocks on Sunday unless something literally happens on Sunday. In college, if you just do the Big Ten system where it's, I think it's 2 hours before kickoff, you still conceivably could cover up an injury all week,
right?
And then just announce it 2 hours beforehand. So I'll be curious how the SEC is handling it.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, listen, as a sports bettor, I kind of actually want this and enjoy it. Gives a little more clarity. But also, we know our injury reports can be massaged. Even in the NFL, they do it. I mean, you know, and I guarantee you every SEC coach will push this to the limits and bend the rules as much as they can, whatever theoretical rules there are, to their own advantage, because that's what everybody does. They look for an advantage. So I don't really know that without some sort of hardline rules here, Seth, we're going to see any real movement on this.
Well, we got to see what the rule is. Got to see what the fines are. Like when
who's paying
Sarkisian
those fines?
Was asked. Yeah, well, when Sarkisian was asked about it in May, you know, he said, you know, he was asked, like, how do you keep coaches from gaming the system? and we didn't know what the system would be at that point. We still don't officially know. He said, you know, do what the NFL does. They fine us. And I know that, like, you know, you can say the NFL, it's not 100% accurate, but there aren't those game day, like, out of nowhere shocks.
Sure.
Like, you know, they've, and the NFL has been dealing with the gambling thing for years. College football has kind of had its head in the sand for years. And it was only the Supreme Court decision in 2018 that kind of got them finally reacting to it. But it's still been 5 years. I think COVID may have interrupted that, because there was momentum starting to build. But the fact we're still only at this point kind of gets back to the whole problem in college sports, and that nobody is in charge. There's no central authority. There's been no commissioner of college football to say, hey, guys, we are at risk of a huge gambling scandal. They're lucky one hasn't happened where, you know, something, because when you are keeping these secrets, the secret information, then there's so much chance for mischief by gamblers. And probably the only thing that has saved that from happening is the coverage that college football gets, in that even if, you know, Kirby Smart, for instance, just using example of where I am, like, as secretive as he can be, there are so many entities covering college football that, honestly, like, as a beat guy, by the time we get to Saturday, there are no shocks. Like, we've heard, like, I've heard from sources, or somebody else has, but at smaller schools, and that's why you have, that's why a lot of the funny business in college sports gambling has happened, either like college baseball with the Alabama one, or like small sports that are kind of away from attention. But I think those kind of things have illuminated for college sports leaders, especially in the SEC. I think the Alabama baseball thing may have helped that, to say we're running a risk here if we don't get a handle on this.
Seth Emerson joining us, guys, from The Athletic. Are we underestimating this Clemson defense? If you're a dog fan, are they as good as we think they are going into week one?
They could be. You know, the front should be good. The rest of the defense, you know, we'll see. We kind of just haven't heard much about Clemson in general.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of, maybe it's because they're not active in the transfer portal that people just kind of don't know who they have. They're building things the traditional way, but they've got some players, and they have the potential to make this game interesting on both sides of the ball for Georgia if they don't play well. If you're a Georgia fan, I think you take heart from the Oregon game 2 years ago, where same building, probably same level of opponent. Georgia went in there and smacked Oregon around. But that doesn't mean that Clemson isn't a team with a lot to play for and not much to lose going into this game.
All right. We go into the season. I'm thinking Carson Beck is the best quarterback to start the season. Do you feel the same way? We've heard all these different names, right? Quinn Ewers. Mark and I were talking about it. Jalen Milroe. He'll actually play against both of those teams in Alabama and Texas. Mm-hmm. Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders. Is Beck the best quarterback going into the start of the season?
Well, I think he certainly would be the guy I'd probably pick right now if I had to, guy to have the best season. In terms of what he has around him, he's going to have a, we haven't talked about Georgia's O-line, but their O-line should be really, really good. He's got good receivers and tight ends. I think he should have a solid running game. It'll, you know, he may not put up great stats, and that's something that has hurt Georgia quarterbacks over and anybody on offense the last few years, because they're in so many blowouts that they don't play in the fourth quarter. But best quarterback in the country, I'm not going to get on a soapbox and just say he definitely is. I think he's on that level with those other guys that you mentioned, and probably some guys that, you know, we're not talking about that are going to come out of nowhere. But I think the way to put it is, I don't think Georgia fans or coaches look at any other quarterback in the country and say, you know, deep down, if you gave me truth serum, I'd trade my guy for that guy.
Yeah,
it's fair. Seth, enjoy the game. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. We look forward to our visits with you through the course of the season. Seth Emerson, guys, follow him. He writes for The Athletic, talking about the Dogs, and he does a great job. Seth, have a great day.
All right, you too.
Good stuff from him. I'm with him on the whole. This is the unknown.
I'm just curious.
The Clemson, the defense, everybody's saying they're good. They're going to be good. They're bringing back about a lot of guys. But he's right about, the emphasis this offseason and what has been said and what people are talking about. There's a little bit of, I don't want to say secrets going into this game, Zeno.
You're talking about Clemson or Georgia?
I'm talking about Clemson.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit of the unknown.
Well, they got a lot more to prove. I mean, they had a bad start last year.
Yep.
Dabo continues to sort of be a pariah with the transfer portal and NIL to his own detriment. Set yourself on fire if you want. No one's going to shed a tear for you. And if they can't get it done this year, much like Saban leaving and all these other guys leaving, the conversation is going to be, the game is past Dabo by. And like you and I talk about, adapt or die.
Evolve. Yep.
If you're not going to, no matter whether you're in coaching, whether you're in radio, whether you're in plumbing, technology, if you don't adapt with the times, evolve with the times and move forward, you quickly become a relic and the game passes you by.
Yeah, man, no man's on the way. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Not just a favorite. Heavy three touchdown plus favorite.
Well, that moved, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it moved after last week. You're going to hear from Connor Stallions. This is the guy that was, in disguise on the sidelines. Now, we talked to, who was it yesterday that told us? Oh, Brett McMurphy. He said it was a great watch on Netflix. If you've not seen it, I think it's called Stealing Signs. And so we'll hear that also as part of our dog report coming up.
By the way, I told you in the break, real quick, great watch on Netflix. If you haven't seen Molly's Game with Jessica Chastain.
Haven't seen it.
It's as good as Rounders. It's about underground poker.
That's saying a lot now.
Trust me, it is saying a lot. It is that good. If you guys haven't seen it, based on a true story,
Okay. Obviously
Aaron Sorkin, who directed it, did The Social Network.
He's good.
Take some embellishments, but it's always good.
Yeah.
You're always captivated. Jessica Chastain is a total smoke, and she looks amazing in it, and she's one of the best actresses in Hollywood. It is so well done. You will not be disappointed.
All right, yeah, you said that, and I've not seen it. Oren is a movie buff as well. He's not seen it, but we will definitely check it out.
Molly's Game.
It's on Netflix.
Worth it, yeah.
Okay, we'll definitely check it out. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The cab's here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle's got the night show tonight. He is not here. Which means O has. Yeah, man, no, man. It's Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno in for Mike today. Also coming up next hour, we'll hear from Brent Key. He was on with Andy and Randy. Hear what he has to say about that upcoming game with Georgia State and much more. Big O, what's going on today, man? How you doing?
Doing all right. How you guys doing?
Hanging in there, man. I mean, Zeno hasn't said anything crazy today, so we're good.
He did the workout and pre-workout before he came to the show.
Can you tell the difference, by the way?
Yes, very much.
I can, too. Yesterday, he did not do this pre-workout. What do you take, by the way? Is it legal?
Probably not.
Yeah, man. I don't know, Zeno,
man.
Can
you buy it over the counter at
Walgreens?
At Walgreens? You can buy it over the counter at Walgreens?
Yes. I get it at Walgreens, actually. Yes, I promise
you. Do you need to show an ID?
Yeah.
Six-star nutrition. Good stuff.
Okay. I don't know if it was legal or not. All I know is you're different when you come in here on the pre-workout.
Because I have my baseball games on Tuesday night, so I don't take it because I don't work out on Tuesday mornings or in the afternoon because I got to go play at night.
You should. You were on one.
Went 2-for-4 last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
Throw anybody out?
No, I the guy, because I was late getting there, somebody else started the game, so I came in the second half of the game, so I only caught 4 innings.
Oh, okay.
What are your numbers on the season for your baseball league?
I'm third on the team. I'm batting 440 something this year.
It's like Whit Merrifield.
We put the stats online. So CobbAngels.com. Go look it up.
Have you hit anything out the yard? Any home runs?
No, I have a triple and 3 doubles. It's ballpark dependent. There was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, we played at Wheeler High School.
Big park.
Huge outfield. Yeah. All the other parks that we play at easily would have been a home run, but ended up a ground rule double.
So you got
I hit my first triple since the Bush administration, and it killed me.
So basically you've got warning track power.
After that, huh?
No,
warning track power.
I couldn't believe he was waving me on the third as I was rounding second. I'm like, oh my God, my old rear end's got to start moving. And then I get down to slide, the ball gets past third baseman. I go to get up to try to run home. My legs just gave out and collapsed.
Nope.
I crawled back to third. I'm like, nope, staying right here. Staying right here. Triple's good enough for this guy. Don't need a little league home run.
That's for everybody who says, why aren't they sending him?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Good luck is right.
There you go.
It's Age, Father Time catches your tail quick.
All right, I just wanted to make sure whatever you were taking is legal, and that's good. You are on one today. Hey, what's going on now?
I've got a young son. Zenon, you've got a couple of young boys. I guess the dream at one point or another is to have maybe your son do the same thing that you do. Like, it'd be cool if one day...
I pray
like,
they never do this.
That'd be awesome, though, if Vincent or Dominic, like, one day you look up and you're doing a radio show and they're producing your radio show or they're on air with you. But it's always cool, that idea of having your child do the thing that you're doing for a living. Kind of like LeBron and Bronny. LeBron, being who he is, Bronny now going to be a rookie for the Lakers next year. He's got the deal where he's not going to spend any time in the G League, all of his time is going to be up with the big club next year. I don't know he's going to be up there with Pops. I don't know how that playing time is going to work out yet, but there might be moments where LeBron and Bronny are on the court at the same time. And that age-old question popped up as to if Bronny's out there, LeBron, how does he address you?
Have you thought through, not relationship, because you'll always be his dad, he'll always be his son, but what's your working relationship? Is he going to call you dad at practice in the locker room?
No, he can't. We already laid that. Cannot call me dad in the workplace. All right? Once we leave out of the private facility and the gates close, I could be dad again. Okay. In the car if we ride together. Okay. At home, I could be dad. No, he got to call me like 2-3 or Bron.
Okay.
Or, you know, GOAT if he wants to. That's up to him. I mean, it's up to him. But it's easy for me. It's easy for me because I've been calling him Bronny for so long. Yeah. It's not like I've been calling, hey, son. Yeah. Easy for me. It's going to be the adjustment for him. But we cannot be running down the court. And he'd be like, Dad, push the ball up. Dad, I'm over. Dad, come on. Like, no, you cannot do that.
Why exactly?
Why not?
Dad, I'm open. That would be the best thing ever.
Like, the way your kids get exasperated, you, Dad!
Yeah.
You know, like,
throwing a hissy.
He looks away, Dad!
Oh, I would love to see it.
Hey, old man! Old man, over here!
What kills me is Bron just said he can call me 2-3.
Goat.
Goat, right? I mean, really? Those are my choices.
I mean,
you're my father.
I get the question, but it's just like,
yeah.
If he yells dad, is he not going to turn his head?
Of course he is.
Like,
he is.
It's a funny, clever thing. I mean, yeah, to a certain extent, I guess the more inclination would be like, if there is a disagreement or does something wrong, does he talk to him like he's his son?
See, this is the issue.
Because you walk over to D'Angelo and be like, D, man, you're supposed to be over here.
This is the issue.
Well, and then it's I've said
damn
this.
Damn it, Bronny, you should know where to be.
I've said this. If you're one of his teammates now, are you addressing Bron or are you addressing Dad? I mean, LeBron. You addressing Bronny or are you addressing LeBron? Because, see, that is where it gets a little bit gray.
If Anthony Davis gets in his keister,
correct,
right?
Like, correct.
Is that, you know, is it okay if I... Can I get
yes.
You know, like,
that's all I'm saying.
Listen, and here's the thing, and this is what everybody's
It'll be legendary from the standpoint it's never been done.
Right.
It's historic. The league knows it. Everybody knows it. So for him to be on the floor, that's going to be cool to see.
Here's the difference is that in a game like baseball, right, when Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. played, there's not a lot of verbal interaction, play to play, and things that happen. Things are fairly in a vacuum and separate. You know, when bad things happen, you pull them. There's a stoppage in play.
Correct.
The fluid game of basketball
doesn't allow for that. And the emotion of it.
Yes.
Depending on, again, and I've said this to people, you know, they're like, well, is he going to get in late in the game and it's a blowout? I don't know what the circumstances are going to be. My guess is there will be a game, because they want to own this, where he starts. And LeBron starts, and you have father and son starting five. They get announced. They come out.
You
blah,
get
blah,
that
blah.
Out of the way, game one.
Okay, fine. Gone. But
and then pull Bronny off the court.
But if you're going to tell me that Bronny is on the floor late in games when it matters most, Dukesism.
You think he will?
I don't think so. If he is, and you're talking about emotional decisions that are made, or you miss an assignment, to your point, and now somebody's got to get in him, including J.J. Redick. Are you talking to Dad? I mean, LeBron. Or are you talking to Bronny? That's what's going to be interesting. But I would call him Dad if I was Bronny. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably still yell Dad. I don't think I would yell anything different.
2-3.
That's kind of funny. You know,
it'd be funny though if his teammates get mad at him or somebody. Tell your dad to pass the ball.
Oh, that would be great.
Why won't your dad pass me the ball,
wouldn't
Bronny?
Wouldn't that be great? You know your dad shot the ball a lot tonight.
Your dad just shot an air ball. Your dad. That'd be great.
LeBron misses. You'd be like,
Bronny.
Hey, Bronny, see that what your dad did? Don't do that.
It's going to be interesting, man. That's a funny kind of soundbite, but yeah, Bron, come on, man. He said when they leave practice, he can then call me dad again.
Outside the gates, he's dad. Well, the thing I wonder, too, is that because for the most part, you know, Bronny is, what, 19?
Yeah.
Does he still live at home next year with them, or does he get his own place?
$8 million?
I have to say, his place is not going to be as nice as where he's coming from, though.
No. I mean, but still, I mean, I need my space, Dad.
Seriously.
I'm just saying. And by the way, the internet's on fire, allegedly, because there's pictures of him with this young lady, and she's, you know, smoke
show. Who, Bronny?
Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, is that his girlfriend? I don't think he's living at home. That's just me. I don't think he's living at
home. Probably good choice. All right, on that note, guys, let's go hang it out of here.
Yeah, that's interesting. Dad. Would you force your boys to call you dad?
Yes.
Really?
I'm your damn father. There's only one permissible and two permissible terms. Dad, daddy, or pops.
Yeah.
You know. Old school Italian thing, man.
So you would literally say, like, if they followed in your footsteps and you're fussing at them, or they want to say something to you and they're like, look, Mark, you'd have an issue with it.
Oh, 100%. 1,000%.
Hey, Zeno, that was wrong.
Excuse you? Who do you think you're talking to?
I'm talking to you, Zeno.
Okay, now we're gonna step outside. I mean, listen again. For all its flaws, whatever it's worth, old school time, man. If I ever address my parents incorrectly, the death stare came, and it was a stern talking to afterwards, nose to nose. I don't know who the hell you think you're talking to, but I brought you in this world. I'll take your ass out.
Yeah, those are facts, by the way. I don't know how many people still say those things, though. Hey, coming up, dog reports on the way. You'll hear from Brent Key as well. It's Dukes and Bell.